I return it again, please, to the book of James, to the chapter 1. And our text this morning is found in verses 9 through to 11. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away, before the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Let's please bow together in prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, we ask for help now to be given to us in our understanding of this passage of Scripture that we have read together. Thou would be pleased to reveal thy truth to our souls, and we might know ourselves to be instructed not from a man that stands behind the pulpit, but from the Spirit of God who has penned and preserved these words. We ask for thy grace to be made known to us this day, and that we might find it sufficient even in all of our ways. Bless thy word to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2014, according to the Australian Council of Social Service, a family of four in Australia making less than $43,000 in a year were to be considered as living below the poverty line. Now, of course, the definition of poverty is blurred considerably when you consider that many of the world's population, over 3 billion people, live on less than $3 a day. And the definitions of prosperity and poverty, rich and poor, is always relative to the place and the culture in which we live. Well, in the first century, as the church began to grow and to develop, many of those early Christians came from the poorest classes of people. Many of them were slaves, and most of them would have been considered amongst the lowest economic class. At the same time, some of those who came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ were most affluent and wealthy. And so seated in the same congregation on a particular Lord's Day might be a slave who owned nothing and a wealthy businessman who owned a sprawling estate. And it's to these two drastically different economic classes that James writes these words in verses 9 through 11. And regardless of our economic status and the class that we might occupy within society, what James has to say in this text is critical. It's critical. Critical advice about dollars and cents. He challenges us to think wisely and biblically about the issue of money and the place that it has in our lives as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants to give us some principles regarding money. Now, the first thing that James would have us to learn is this, that the absence of money does not make you poor. The absence of money does not make you poor. I heard of a Sunday school teacher that was relaying to her class the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and asked her class at the end of the lesson, "Now, which would you rather be, the rich man or Lazarus?" And one boy put up his hand and said, "I'd like to be the rich man while I'm living, and Lazarus after I die." And James gives us a very similar paradox here, that the levels that levels the playing field between rich and poor within the church. He says the poor are rich and the rich are poor. Now, he doesn't advocate some form of forced voluntary redistribution of wealth, but he does show that in the church, the world's distinction of status for the rich and insignificance for the poor does not hold true. Nor does James say to the poor brother that he simply has to claim his Cadillac by faith, as the name it and claim it health and wealth heresies would tell us. He doesn't appeal to their greed, but he does say in verse 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. The phrase low degree speaks of someone who is poor by this world's standards. It describes one of economic lowliness and poverty. But he says such a one is exalted. And the word exalted means to be brought to a high position. So what James is saying is, let the brother of low degree rejoice because of his high position. Let the poor brother rejoice in his riches. Now that's a very strange statement. But what James is teaching us is that true wealth is not measured by the size of your bank account, but by your spiritual standing before God. And James is teaching us that the poor brother, the one of low degree, can rejoice because firstly, his position is secure. Don't miss the fact that when James is addressing this man of low degree, that he refers to him as a brother. Let the brother of low degree, his house may be small, his clothes may be simple, his money may be sparse, but James says he is a brother. And he indicates that he is a child of God, and thereby he can rejoice. He may be poor in an earthly sense, but he is part of a heavenly family that grants to him far greater riches than what this world can afford. The brother of low degree is able to sing, my father is rich in houses and land. He holds all the wealth of this world in his hand, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full, he has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, I'm a child of the King. With Jesus my Saviour, I'm a child of the King. The poor brother can rejoice in the fact that he is part of the family of God. He has a wealth that this world knows nothing about. He is far richer than he appears. Truly, the poorest man with Jesus is richer than the millionaire without. So he can rejoice because of his position in the family, and he rejoices because his prospects are bright. This brother of low degree can rejoice in that he is exalted. This brother, who by earthly standards does not rise far above the ground, can rejoice or glory in his exaltation. And the word exaltation is used in the scriptures to speak of height and elevation. It's used at times to specifically describe the height of heaven. When you read in the scriptures of the highest heaven, that's the same word that James is using. Do you see what he's saying? Let the brother who is lowly in this earth rejoice in that one day he will live high above this earth in a heavenly home. He might have little by way of this world's goods, but he can look forward to a day when this world is over and he can trade the dirt roads for the streets of gold. He's going to a place where poverty is forgotten, where the Lord is preparing for him a mansion in glory. So what, he doesn't have much money? That doesn't make him poor. Do you remember what Peter said? He says, we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We are part of a heavenly family, and we are heirs of a heavenly inheritance. The absence of money does not make you poor, but the absence of Christ most certainly does. So he tells us that the absence of money does not make you poor, nor does the abundance of money, should it make you proud. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Having spoken to the brother who is financially poor, James now turns to the Christian who is financially prosperous. They have acquired much of this world's goods. They are wealthy by the world's standards. Financially, they lack nothing. They have the ability to purchase whatever they desire. Now, James does not condemn their wealth, but he does urge them to maintain a proper perspective regarding it. Let the rich brother rejoice in the fact that he is to be made low. The height of the poor brother is his basis of rejoicing, but it's the humility of the rich brother that is to give him cause to rejoice. Now, I don't want you to be turning me off at this moment because you don't consider yourself to be the rich brother. I want you to gauge again what you have, not against the wealth of other Australians, but against the poverty of most of the rest of the world. You are, in fact, a rich person. For the world, the average income is around $1,700 a year. If you have a roof over your head and food in your cupboards and money in the bank, no matter how little, you find yourself in the top 10% of the world's richest people. You are the rich brother. I am the rich brother. And as such, we must pay attention to what James says to those who are rich by the world's standards. And he tells us that those riches are no reason to boast. In fact, we should be humble. We are to rejoice as we are made low. And here's the challenge to those who are rich. While it isn't impossible for a rich man to serve the Lord, he must first overcome the obstacle of his wealth. Because many who possess great riches are tempted to serve their money and serve their possessions rather than the Lord. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 19 and verse 24, again I say unto you. So this is a message that our Savior repeated often. Again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And why is it so difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? Well, I think the answer is given to us in the parable that our Savior told of the sower of the soils. In Mark chapter 4, our Savior tells the parable and then gives the interpretation. And he spoke of some seed that fell amongst thorns and failed to grow as it should. And he said, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. In other words, the challenge for those who are rich is that they so often get caught up in their riches that it chokes the spiritual aspect out of their lives. They're so consumed with the pursuit of money and the holding on to that money that they forget about God. So James reminds us that the rich man rejoices when he is made low. And he's speaking of that recognition that riches cannot extend his life or gain him acceptance before God. And James recognizes the difficulty of the rich man coming to this realization that his wealth, his riches, his position, his status that gives him so much in this world gives him less than nothing before God. And his abundance of money was no reason to boast. In fact, he said, if it's not handled correctly, it will prove to be the undoing of your life, because it will keep you from truly and fully surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we lived in South Australia, there was an expression that we used to hear all the time, and it's a worrying one. The people there used to talk about Australia being the lucky country. You worked hard, you earned your money, and you could live your life whatever way you pleased. That there was such an abundance of money for those that were willing to work for it, that you could enjoy the good life. Have everything that you want. The big house, the fast car, the boat in the driveway, the holiday shack at the beach. You could have it all. The good life. The lucky country. You know what I find? That most of the people that had those things were so consumed with the getting of them and the keeping of them that there was no thought of God at all in their hearts. No thought of God. In fact, they would tell you that they didn't need God. What more could we want? We have everything we could desire and more. Why do we need God? Here's why. The book of Proverbs reminds us in Proverbs 11 and verse 4 that riches profit not in the day of wrath. Doesn't matter how much money you may have or how bulging your bank account might be or how big your portfolio, no matter how much money a man might have, it will never save his soul from hell. In order for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, James says he must be made low. He must be humbled. He must make that choice to humble himself before the Lord Jesus Christ. To be willing to give up all that he has for the sake of the gospel. Now the Lord may choose to let him keep his wealth. But the rich man, like all other men, must be willing to surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you cannot reach that place and make that choice to follow the Master rather than your money, then you have no reason to rejoice in the sight of God. And I ask you this morning, as one of the rich of this world, have you made that choice? If the Lord Jesus asked you, as he asked the rich young ruler, to sell all that you have and give to the poor and take up your cross and follow me, would you do it? Be honest. Would you give it all away so that you might have Christ? Your riches are no reason to boast. You may be blessed with more material things than 90% of the people living on this earth, but that is no reason to rejoice. Let us not be distracted or dazzled by earthly wealth so that we miss out on the fact that our greatest need is not a financial one, but a spiritual one. Don't rejoice and glory in earthly things that will pass away with time. Rejoice in the fact that you have humbled yourself before the Lord, that you have bowed before him, that you have called upon him to save your soul, and you have surrendered all that you have to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that you have given him control of all that you are and have. The absence of money does not make you poor, nor should the abundance of money make you proud. Now there's one last thought I bring to you this morning, and it's this: the accumulation of money cannot bring you peace. Look carefully at what James says here in the text. He instructs the rich brother to glory in the fact that he has been brought low or humbled. Because, there at the middle of verse 10, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. And he continues in verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. James is giving us a very wise warning against trying to accumulate more money in the hopes of living a more satisfying and peaceful life. He's telling us in these wonderful pictures that money cannot bring you peace, because he tells us something of the brevity of life. The flower of the grass is a picture that's taken from that region of the world that everyone would have recognized. There in the desert climate, the sprigs of grass would sprout up in the morning while it was yet cool, and there was a dew on the ground. However, by noon, the Mediterranean sun would be up, it would be hot, and the desert wind would blow across the land, and those little grasses that had sprung up in the morning would wither and die by the afternoon. James says that's the way it is with money. It lasts for just a short season, and it's hard to maintain through the winds of life. Proverbs 23 and verse 5 puts it this way: wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Riches fly away. Have you not seen that truth so vividly illustrated in the economic downturns of recent days? How in a matter of moments that the value of a company's stock can plummet, how property markets can fall. Can you not testify that the dollar in your pocket buys you less today than what it did 10 years ago? James reminds us that this lesson that many have only learned the hard way. Money cannot bring you peace. because it's difficult to hold on to, and life is short. But the longer we live, the quicker time seems to pass. Doesn't seem so long ago when we were of an age wondering, would we ever be able to learn to drive? Where has time gone? Life, at best, is very brief, the hymn writers. And we have to maintain a proper focus while living upon earth, because this is the only opportunity that we have to live our lives for the Lord. Such a short time. And if we spend that time in the pursuit of money, we have failed and missed out on the opportunity to serve God in the days that He has given to us. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. The little phrase "in his ways" literally means in the midst of his pursuits. The idea is of someone who is constantly seeking after money, hoping to find peace and satisfaction in the accumulation of it, only to be disappointed because one day, in the midst of his pursuits, he's going to die. And after death comes the judgment, when they stand before God and they find out to their great horror and loss that the money that they've chased all their life, those things that distracted them from what was truly important, will be the very things that damn their soul. How much money does it take to make a man happy? You've used the illustration before, but J.D. Rockefeller, one of the world's wealthiest men, said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. The pursuit of money is an endless one, because no matter what you have, it's never enough. And then when life is over, you will find that that pursuit was a worthless and pointless one. That's why the Lord Jesus admonished his disciples there in Matthew chapter 6 not to lay up for themselves treasures upon earth. That's not where we want our treasures to be found. We're to lay up treasures in heaven, because treasures upon earth, moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. After the death of the multimillionaire, as his casket's been lowered into the ground, and his friends stand around that open hole, speaking in hushed whispers to one another, how much did he leave? He left it all. Every penny. But no matter how much or how little money that you might have in this life, every penny of it remains when you go. Not a single cent that you have accumulated will pass through the fires of God's judgment with you. Why do we place so much emphasis on things that are temporal and passing? Why do we spend so much time and energy on the pursuit of things that do not last? We could have the finest home in all of Tasmania, but eventually it will need repair. We can spend our time and money striving to stay young and beautiful, but eventually age will take its toll. We must ensure that we spend and be spent on something of value. Not things that are passing away, never to return. Invest in eternity. Lay up treasures in heaven. Live your life for the glory of God and serve Him with heart and soul and mind and strength, and invest your life for eternity to come. Does it matter if your pockets are empty or if they're bulging. The absence of money does not make you poor, and the abundance of it should not make you proud. Don't make money the pursuit of your life. All of the money in the world cannot bring you peace. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God says all these other things shall be added unto you. The things that the world pursues after, God says, I'll give them to you. But seek me first. I think of the rich man of whom their Saviour spoke in Luke 12. They spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? I pray that our focus will be upon the Saviour, for the desire to serve Him faithfully in the life that we have been given, and to invest ourselves wisely for time and for eternity. We have an appointment fixed for us by God, an appointment through death and unto judgment, and we will stand before God. Can you say with assurance this morning that after that appointment of God, that He will bring you into His heaven because your trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will you be amongst those who, having spent their life on the things of earth with no care or concern for the Savior, will be ushered out of God's presence and into everlasting fire? Let us devote our time and energy, our whole selves, to the worship of God, to serve Him and seek to please Him. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. But we all know what it is to have bowed the knee before Jesus Christ and confessed Him Lord and Savior, and to have surrendered fully all that we are and have and ever hope to be into His hands. And the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we pray that Thou would be pleased now to write Thy word upon our hearts, that we might not sin against Thee. Amen.